The congregation is invited to stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor miserable sinner,
confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
Vindicate me, O God, and defend my cause against an ungodly people.
From the deceitful and unjust man, deliver me.
For you are the God in whom I take refuge. Why have you rejected me?
Why do I go about mourning because of the oppression of the enemy?
Send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me.
Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling.
Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy.
And I will praise you with the lyre, O God, my God.
Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me?
hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
We pray, Almighty God, by your great goodness, mercifully look upon your people, that we may be governed and preserved evermore in body and soul, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. The Old Testament reading is from Genesis chapter 22, beginning at verse 1. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. He said, Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went, both of them together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. He said, Behold, the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So they went, both of them together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on the top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. He said, Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram, caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, The Lord Will Provide. And it is said to this day, On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The New Testament reading is from Hebrews chapter 9, starting at verse 11. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy place, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctified for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Congregation is invited to stand for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 8th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
St. John, the 11th, 8th chapter, sorry. Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me. For I came from God, and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason you do not hear them is that you are not of God." The Jews answered him, "Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." The Jews said to him, "Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets. Yet you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died? And the prophets died. Who do you make yourself out to be?" Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say, he is our God. But you have not known him. I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad." So the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to thee, O Christ.
The congregation may be seated.
Not all the blood of beasts on Jewish altars slain could give the guilty conscience peace or wash away the stain. But Christ, the heavenly Lamb, takes all our sins away.
The congregation is invited, if you'd like to, you can look on the very back of the bulletin, and I'll be referring to some points there back there, on the back there. To start, I reread the passage from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 12. He entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, and thus securing an eternal redemption. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Which of the three Bible readings to preach on today? All three are important and have a variety of teachings that are so good for us to hear and think about. But as I pondered upon that, we are in Lent, and the thing that we are very close to now, Holy Week, is that week in which we remember, we think about, we ponder, we worship God about, is the suffering and death and resurrection of Jesus. And this Hebrew passage, Hebrews 9 passage, is very, very important for us to prepare for that, to prepare for Holy Week. And so I thought, well, we're going to look at Hebrews today, the New Testament reading. Just as the title of the book, the letter says, Hebrews, it was written for Christians who were Jewish, who had a Hebrew background. And so in every single chapter of Hebrews, steeped into every single verse, there are references and understandings and teachings connected to the Old Testament. It was written for Christians who were Jews and now believe that Jesus was the Messiah, fulfilling the Old Testament prophets. And those folks knew the Old Testament teachings about sacrifice and temple worship and the tabernacle and all these things. So Hebrews, the letter to the Hebrews, it's full of references to the Old Testament sacrifices and the tabernacle worship and so forth. So in this little brief time, I wanted to be sure that we're thinking along with the writer to the Hebrews what he's comparing Jesus to. What is he comparing Jesus to? And so on the back of the bulletin, there is a little diagram, and I know the words on the diagram are very small, the letters are small. But that diagram represents the outside curtain walls of the tabernacle. That's the bigger box. And the smaller box with two parts inside that represents the tabernacle itself, a tent, and was movable, is made of cloths and skins. And God gave Moses a design in Exodus and Leviticus. And so you'll see inside that smaller box several things and outside several things. If you go from, let's go from right to left, there's a small colored or dark box called the bronze altar. And then there's the bronze laver. And then there inside the smaller box is the holy place and the holy of holies, the two parts inside the tabernacle. And very small, I know, but there's the table of showbread in the holy place, and there's a seven-branched lampstand. And there's an altar of incense. And then that little kind of looks, if you can tell, a little squiggly line there between the Holy of Holies and the holy place. That's the curtain that divided those two parts. And the Holy of Holies, there is the Ark of the Covenant. And this was the plan, and you can read it. You can read how God designed it and told Moses to make it, and they made it. And it was a tent at first. And it was tent from all the way from Moses, from about 1500 BC, late 1400 BCs, to the time of Solomon, when he built it about 1000 BC. And then Solomon built the temple, same design, but a structure, a grand structure in Jerusalem, permanent structure, that was destroyed by the Babylonians, and it was rebuilt by the Jews. So this structure, that design, the temple, was standing at Jesus' time. And the worship and the sacrifices were going on at Jesus' time. And so these Jews who this letter is to knew this. They knew what the temple, tabernacle was like at first. They knew that Solomon built the temple. They knew that it was destroyed. They knew that it was rebuilt. And they themselves likely had even seen the temple worship themselves. And now, the writer to the Hebrews refers to many parts of the temple worship and says, now is Jesus. Now is Jesus. There's just a few blanks there. The Old Testament sacrifices pointed to Jesus' sacrifice. The Old Testament sacrifices pointed to Jesus' sacrifice. B, animal sacrifices were burned at the bronze altar, that first altar outside. Most of the animal sacrifices were burned there, not inside the tabernacle, not inside the temple, but outside at the big bronze altar. The bronze laver, that was where they kept water to wash before the priests and the Levites would go into the holy place. And inside the holy place, every morning and night, there were sacrifices or prayers. And then at C, animal blood was sprinkled at the altar of incense and at the Ark of the Covenant, in the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement. That was once a year. The Holy of Holies, a number of times in the Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers narratives, the Holy of Holies has God's holy presence. And the high priest was only allowed into the Holy of Holies once a year, the Day of Atonement. And that Day of Atonement, then they sprinkled blood in front of, over that Ark of the Covenant. And so that was the day that truly the sins were atoned for. All the other days of the year, only the priests and the Levites would only go into the holy place, only in that larger section. But once a year, on the Day of Atonement, they were to give a special sacrifice and sprinkle the blood of a bull on and before the Ark of the Covenant. And actually, at Jesus' time, the Ark of the Covenant was lost, was no more. And thus, that older famous movie, The Lost Ark of the Covenant, Finding the Ark, well, it was lost. Solomon had it. It was built by Moses and Levi and the people. In Moses' time, it remained through David's time, King David's time, remained to Solomon for several hundred years, and then the temple was destroyed by the Babylonians, and the ark is never mentioned again. It's gone. So Jesus' time, though the structure was built in a very glorious way, the temple, there was no ark. There was the place where the ark should be, but there was no ark. So that's the lost ark. We don't know truly in history what happened to the ark. But there was an empty place at Jesus' time when they would go on the Day of Atonement and do it and spread the blood. Throughout Hebrews then, the writer of the Hebrews is saying, look, this is what our people have done, the Jews have done, directed by God. But what Jesus has done is so much better, is so much more, is infinitely more. First of all, those couple of verses right there are right there in the back page, and I'm going to emphasize, obviously would have been too many things to write in. I want to emphasize some of those bold points. Verse 11. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, already right away, a difference. Every priest in the Old Testament was a sinner himself. They needed atonement. There was a process for atoning for his own sins before he could do his work of atoning for the people. But Jesus, the Son of God, had no sin. He himself was the priest without sin. And Hebrews notes this. He's the high priest, this holy one. Then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of creation, he entered once for all. The greater, more perfect tent, in which he is referring to, is before God himself, in the presence of the Father. So this high priest, Jesus, entered into the presence of the Father. And what does he do? He answers once for all. Before, in the Day of Atonement, they had to enter every single year, atone for new sins again, new sins again, new sins again. But Jesus, once for all, into the holy places, not by the means of blood of goats and calves, not animal sacrifices. That's done with. But by means of his own blood. And here is a great distinction and difference from the Old Testament to the New Testament. The Old Testament, the high priests would enter that Holy of Holies. They had to atone for themselves first, their own sins first, and then atone for the people. And it had to be done again and again and again, year after year. But the writer notes, but Jesus is the high priest. And he enters not by the blood of goats and bulls, but his own blood. And he does it once. And it's done. Thus, securing, and note this, eternal redemption. There's another phrase that's so important in the next verse, and it's these two phrases by which we should absolutely not doubt our forgiveness or our salvation. He obtains, secures an eternal redemption. Eternal. We may have times in our life, events in our life, or events in the life of our family or community, and we'll say, I don't know how that can be forgiven. I don't know if I can stand before God again. I don't know if that person can stand before God. I don't know if that person can be forgiven. It is not the blood of an animal that forgives sins. It is the blood of the Son of God. And it is for an eternal redemption. It covers all. Eternal redemption means, yes, this sin is covered yesterday and today and tomorrow, just as Jesus is the same yesterday and today and tomorrow. It covers eternally all the sins of people, if they would have him and not refuse Christ. But it's there. It would cover the sins and cover all sins. If the devil tempts us to say this sin or that sin cannot be forgiven, the devil tempts us to think that that might be. But wait a minute, devil. Didn't Jesus defeat you? Isn't he stronger than you? Is my sin, which I do, stronger than the Son of God's blood? No. He is stronger than anything evil I might do. He is stronger than any evil that person may do. Forgiveness is possible. It is the blood of Christ. And so the author, the writer to the Hebrews says, it's not animal blood. It's Christ's own blood, and he's the holy high priest. He doesn't need forgiveness himself. He is holy, and he offers his holy blood for these sinners. And no sinner is stronger than the blood of Jesus. That is a great thing for us to think about, and it's connected to all the Old Testament sacrifices, but it's Christ is all the more and of divine quality, godly quality. Continuing there in verse 13, for the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer, this is referring to various Old Testament sacrifices, sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, do you notice there, Son, Spirit, and Father? The Trinity is mentioned there. Will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit of God offered himself without blemish to God, look at that next phrase, purify our conscience. Christians, we know God's Ten Commandments. We know other parts of God's Word which judges our lives, judges the sins in our lives. And those words are true. God's words are true, and that's a true judgment. But sometimes that takes precedence. That takes over our thinking. And sometimes that guilt, the feeling of guilt, the feeling of separation from God is so powerful. A passage such as this points out that the blood of Christ purifies our conscience. If we are feeling guilty or apart from God, or God's abandoned us, or whatever the separation might be, this reminds us, it's the blood of Christ purifies our conscience before God. I am clean before God. He doesn't see my sin. For the sake of his Son's holy blood, with an eternal redemption, this sin is not seen by God in the name of Jesus. And thus, as I mentioned to the children, the cross in the name of Jesus, crosses in the name of Jesus are so utterly important, for we know we stand before God not on our own, but in the name of Jesus and by the power of his death and resurrection. Purifies our conscience. This morning in Bible class before church, we were studying and looking at Acts. We're looking at a Samaritan city to whom Philip witnessed. And he proclaimed the Christ in this Samaritan city. And there was miracles that were done. And it says in an interesting passage, in that little paragraph there, and there was great joy in the whole city. That is what God intends. Is that the sacrifice of his Son, this eternal redemption by Jesus Christ, the purification of our conscience, that we can stand before God, even with all our problems, we can still stand before God in the name of Christ. That is joy. I'm okay. God is with me. Not only yesterday and today, but tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow's tomorrow, until Jesus comes again. I'm okay. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, we give you thanks and praise that you revealed to Moses and the people of the Old Testament a way in which you would forgive sins. And yet, it was not finally the blood of animals that saved them, but their hope in Jesus Christ, the promised Messiah, who has now come. And now is the once-for-all sacrifice. Dear Heavenly Father, strengthen our faith to know that the blood of Jesus covers all sins. The blood of Jesus purifies all consciences. The blood of Jesus is what you have done for us. And give us the joy of this salvation. That we don't doubt or fear, no matter what is going on, that we are apart from you or that you aren't with us, but in the name of Jesus, and by his death and resurrection, we are yours, and we are okay. We are with you. In the holy name of Jesus we pray, amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. At this time, you may remain seated for this part. Actually, you're invited to stand. You don't have to stand, but you're invited to stand. It's a creedal hymn. We're going to confess our faith with a creedal hymn. So instead of the Apostles' Creed or Nicene Creed, we're singing the creed. We're singing the creed. So you're invited to stand. We always stand for the creed. So you're invited to stand as we sing the creedal hymn. And you'll notice that it's really the words of the Apostles' Creed. It's closely to the Apostles' Creed. But we confess our faith with this creedal hymn. We all believe in one true God. This is our creed for today, and then our prayers after that.
We all believe in one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, ever present help in need, praised by all the heavenly host. All he made his love enfolds, all creation he upholds. We all believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God and Mary's Son, who descended from his throne and for us salvation won. By whose cross and death are we rescued from all misery? We all confess the Holy Ghost, who from both in truth proceeds, who sustains and comforts us in all trials, fears, and needs. Blessed Holy Trinity, praise forever.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
To the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who by his death brought us to his holy hill, and by his resurrection justified us in his sight, that he would lead us by the light and truth of his holy word to vindication in Christ in the face of all enemies of the gospel, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For God's holy people, cleansed and redeemed by the blood of his Son, that as priests serving under the high priest, our Savior, we may now offer living sacrifices in prayer and good works. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all fathers in the home and church, that our Heavenly Father would give them wisdom and fortitude, that he would make them faithful in teaching his word to the children entrusted in their care, and that all little ones would come to know their Heavenly Father and live as true children of God. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For Dr. Harrison, our Synod President, Dr. Wilson, our District President, Pastor Shiwi, our Circuit Visitor, and all pastors in Christ, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those in need, especially Margaret and Bernita, Carolyn, Charlotte, Isaac, Loretta, Kathy, Carlin, Shirley, Bryston, Bill, Jason, Sue, Brian, Gary, Keith, David, Brad, Kenneth, Pastor Shiwi, and Pastor Berlin. That God would receive our prayers not because of our worth, but in his mercy through the intercession of Jesus Christ, our great high priest, and that he would answer our petitions on account of the merits and mediation of his Son, our Savior. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who commune, that God would prepare our hearts and give us faith in the word of his Son, our great high priest, mediator of the New Testament in his blood, and that we would thus be worthy to eat his body and drink his blood, going in full confidence to the altar of God, to our exceeding joy, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
We pray, Lord, keep us steadfast in your word, that we may not be deceived by that liar and murderer, the devil, but know your truth, and so come to everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We pray Luther's morning prayer. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger, and I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil.
that all my doings in life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things.
Let your holy angels be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen.
We pray our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen.
Just one announcement before we continue with the hymn. Just a reminder that we just changed just the order of that very beginning of communion, just like we did 2 weeks ago. So first, the two communion assistants, I will commune them at the table here. And then the two assistants and I will go all the way up to the balcony first. We will commune those in the balcony and then come up from the back and commune those who will stand in the pews will come up. So just a reminder that we go to the balcony first, then come up and commune those who are in the pews. We continue with the hymn, The Death of Jesus Christ, Our Lord. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
Almighty God, at your command, Abraham prepared to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice in the mountain. Yet in mercy you provided a ram as a substitute. We give you thanks that on Calvary you did not spare your only son, but sent him to offer his life as a ransom for many. As we eat and drink his body and blood, grant us, like Abraham our father, to trust in your promise now fulfilled in Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world.
Amen.
Amen. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, shed for the forgiveness of your sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." Peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen. O Christ, the Lamb of God, that takest away the sin. Oh,
table of the Lord. Take and eat that you body of Christ given for you.
Takest away the sin of the world.
Take and drink that you blood of Jesus shed for the forgiveness of your
peace.
Sins. Now may this true body and blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the one true faith until life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
His word proclaims, and we believe that in this supper we receive His very body, as He said, His very blood for sinners shed. We dare but simply hold the mystery and trust this word where life begins, given and shed for all your sins. They who this word do not believe, this food salvation here we'll never find. May we this warning keep in mind. But blessed is each believing guest who in these promises finds rest. For Jesus shall love is this, O my soul, O my soul. What wondrous love is this, O my soul. What wondrous love is this that caused the Lord of bliss to bear the dreadful soul, for my soul, to bear the dreadful curse for my soul. When I was sinking down, sinking down, when I was sinking down, Christ laid aside His crown for my soul, Christ laid aside His crown for my soul. To the Lamb I will sing, to God and to the Lamb I will sing, to God and to the Lamb.
God the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.
Amen. You're invited to stand or sit for our closing hymn.
Oh, bless the Lord, my soul. Let all within me join, and aid my tongue to bless his name, whose favors are divine. Oh, bless the Lord, my soul. Nor let his mercies lie forgotten in unthankfulness and without righteous day.